Good morning. There he goes. Good morning. Welcome to Grace Christian Church. We're glad you're with us this morning. My name is Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor of Grace Christian Church. And we're streaming right now live from my home in Monmouth County, New Jersey. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus and the lockdown, we can't meet and assemble as a church, but it is my prayer that hopefully, I'm just guessing now, probably by July or August, we can meet again. So I miss you all. I want to see you all. And I'd love to give you guys all hugs and kisses, my wife as well. And we just miss you and being in with you. But this morning, I'm going to preach a message called Religion or Relationship. And we're going to look at a chapter 10 in Acts and about a man named Cornelius. You've probably heard of him before. And he was an Italian commander who prayed, was very religious, but he was missing something, and that something was Jesus Christ. So this is about the seventh Sunday. I'm preaching from my home, and I'm praying and hoping that the Lord brings this thing, this coronavirus, to an end. And my thoughts and prayers go out to all of you. So Grace Christian Church has been around since 2004, and God has been changing and kind of refocusing us a little now that we're into underneath this virus and working. And he's been showing us by the Spirit that, you know, it might be better to bring the church to you who are listening live versus you coming to a physical location. So that's my prayer, that we would bring the church to you through means, electronic means, through Zoom, through other areas, where we can interact with you. And it's my prayer that we'd have little house churches, little house groups around the country, and even maybe in another country, that could assemble every morning, every Sunday morning, rather, when I preach. And then afterwards, we can do a separate meeting where we could teach you guys about the grace of God. So if you're interested in learning about God's grace, if you're interested in being in a small group in your home, if you want to get more in depth, we have a Healing Hearts group that we've introduced on Facebook where we can get more into depth and to learn about his grace. If you're interested in all that, we'd love for you to contact us, and we'd love to meet with you and mentor you and teach you so you can be an extension of Grace Christian Church, because grace is such an awesome thing, and it's so misunderstood in our culture, in the church in America today, but it is so freeing to know Jesus Christ as life. Amen. So my thoughts and prayers are going out to you all who are in your home or in lockdown at this point. And, you know, it's been hard even for us in this church. You know, two members and a previous member lost their lives and went to be with the Lord the last 2 weeks. And that's kind of sad, but it's better for them to be in the presence of God than it is to be on this earth that is filled with sin. But you know what? We're here. And we're spreading the good news of the gospel of grace, and we're live streaming from my home right now. So how's everybody doing in the lockdown, you know, the last 7 weeks? You know, my family's routine has completely changed. You know, I used to take my wife out basically every weekend for a date night, dinner. And at this point, and she's standing in front of me, she's laughing, yeah. And at that, you know, we can't do that now because restaurants are closed. It changed our routine. You know, we had a 30-year wedding anniversary trip planned that no longer was going to be this past week to go to Florida, to Sanibel Island, had to be canceled. You know, we have cabin fever. We have a lot of stress. We're kind of going stir crazy. You know, we can't really walk in our favorite places. You know, we wanted to, this past week, go to the Henry Hudson Trail, and the Henry Hudson Trail was actually closed by the governor. But then there was protest this week, and he reopened all the state parks as of yesterday, May 2nd. Amen. But you know what? It's been difficult. But you know what? I view being in a lockdown and being in our home as maybe an opportunity to do something new, as an opportunity to kind of recreate ourselves, an opportunity to learn something, you know. A good friend of mine actually got laid off this past week, and he was very upset, you know, and he's temporarily laid off, and he's getting unemployment, and I know it takes time to get it, and he was worried and all. And he said, what am I going to do for the next 8 weeks or 9 weeks? And he said, you know what I'll do? I'll learn how to play guitar. He had a guitar. He had it sitting in his house for years and never used it. Good idea. Do something new. Learn a musical instrument. But for me personally, I've done a lot of new things the past couple of weeks. I stream a message from my home. This is all new. This wasn't before the coronavirus, you know. Me and my wife set up a small little music studio. Imagine that, in our living room. And we play contemporary Christian music a couple times a week. That's new. I find myself exercising more. Believe that? I walk more. You know what? I'm more consistent. And here's another thing. I'm eating healthier. I don't eat a lot of junk food. You know, when I was out on the road and meeting with clients and going out, I'm a bivocational pastor. I have two jobs. And I would eat not very good lunches, you know, very high calorie lunches. And I had gained weight. I actually lost weight because I'm eating healthier. And I'm discovering new ways to communicate with you, with people through internet, through Facebook, through YouTube. That's all new for me. And that's probably maybe new for you. But what about, let's say, from a spiritual perspective? What has anything new, new opportunities? And yes, that's even happened for us as well. Me and my wife now are taking a course on, it's called Helping Others Overcome Addictions. And it's about the exchange life, working in the life of a person where they can see and understand their identity in Christ, and that freedom only comes by Him, not by doing something, not by a 12-step program. And it's so important, and there's so much freedom in that, that there's freedom in Christ. And that's a class we're taking. Because, brothers and sisters, in New Jersey, there's a lot of addiction, opioid addiction, alcohol addiction, all kinds of addictions. And we're encountering that every day in the life of our church. But I wanted to learn that. So I took that upon myself and my wife to learn that. Amen. And you can do the same. But what about this? What about now being home, spending more time entering into the presence of God? How about that? Entering the presence of God through prayer. You know what? This has become easier for me now because I'm home. It's more of a higher priority to me now because I'm home. You know what? Because I'm on lockdown. I don't have as many distractions. You know, I do have some distractions because, you know, I have a lot of Zoom meetings all day, but I have time to spend with God, more time to spend with God. How about you? You know, we can enter into God's presence, brothers and sisters, and have an intimate relationship with Him. God wants an intimate relationship with you, and God wants an intimate relationship with me. He wants an intimate relationship with man, and that who's who He created, right? We are descendants of Adam and Eve, brothers and sisters. He wants an intimate relationship with us. But I rehash this a lot, and I'll say it again. The sin in the garden left a hole in our hearts, and we are searching for life. We are searching for love in a physical world that can only be replaced by Jesus Christ. But God wants an intimate relationship with us. But the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What is Jesus saying in that verse? He is the way to the Father for an intimate connection and intimacy with God the Father. He is truth and He is life. He is the one that produces and gives life to a spiritually dead man that we're born into this world because of the sin of Adam. Brothers and sisters, the pathway to intimacy with God the Father is through Jesus Christ. Okay. The pathway to have life is through Jesus Christ. Now, through the centuries, many have prayed to God, but don't know Jesus Christ or the life or the salvation He offers. They know there's a God, They see the world around them. They see creation. They see the sky. They see the oceans. They see the earth. They say, God created. There's a God. There must be a God. They pray to him, but they don't know or have never heard of Jesus, his son, as a way to God the Father, to connect to him. You know what? If we sincerely pray to God and we seek him, God always orchestrates a way for you to hear the gospel. God always orchestrates a way in his timing, in his unique way, for you to hear. Because God says he wants all men to be saved and desire to know the truth. He wants your heart, brothers and sisters. But you know, in the first century, there was a Roman soldier, I mentioned before, his name was Cornelius. He was very religious. He prayed, but he didn't know Jesus Christ. He prayed to a God he knew, and his desire, God's desire, was to be connected to him more intimately. So God sent him a message. God sent him the gospel. We're going to look at that today. We're going to look at the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. We're going to kind of scan through it. And I encourage you to read that on your own, because I'm going to scan through it today. There's a lot of verses, brothers and sisters. But you know, here's the thing. God didn't want Cornelius's religious works, his religious activities. No, God wanted Cornelius's heart. Okay. He wanted a relationship with him. He wanted him to have spiritual life. So I want to look at specifically today Cornelius's spiritual journey. Okay. And God, you know, does this. He provides a way. He has a pattern of showing his son to those who seek him, because God wants a relationship with you, not your religious activity. God, I believe, is using the coronavirus to show men right now in lockdown in this country their need for Jesus Christ as they say and pray in their homes. Amen. So I'm going to read now Acts 10. If you have your Bible, go there. Verses 39 to 43 in the NASB version. Then I'm going to open this time in prayer. So have your Bibles. Follow along with me. Verse 39 says, "We are witnesses of all the things he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he became visible, not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen before him by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." Let's bow our heads, brothers and sisters, and let's pray to open the rest of this service. Thank you so much, Lord, for the scriptures. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through you, that you are the connector, that you are the way that we can have intimacy with God through having spiritual life and having your life. I pray, Lord, you speak through my lips this morning to those who don't know you or don't understand you, that you are the way and you are the only way and you're the only way to have life, which is Christ's life. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So let's look at Cornelius. If you have your Bibles, go to chapter 10, verse 1 to 2. I'm going to read about who he is, and we'll kind of talk about this man, Cornelius. Cornelius, verse chapter 10, verse 1 says, Now there was a man from Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. And he gave alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. Cornelius, it says, was a centurion of an Italian cohort. Really what that is, basically, is he was a commander of a regiment. Cornelius was a commander of approximately 100 soldiers. He is described as somebody who was devout, meaning he was deeply religious. He feared God. It said all his household feared God. Well, you know, he didn't understand at that point the new covenant. He didn't understand grace. He was still operating under law, under old covenant, and didn't know that you shouldn't fear God because God loves you and perfect love casts out fear. But he did fear him at that point. He gave alms to the Jewish people, which means he gave materially to them. And he also did this. He prayed continually. Okay. So how did this all work? You know, how did he get introduced to the gospel? Well, or how did he get introduced to the Jewish religion? Well, he probably was, you know, drawn by the Spirit to go to a temple. He probably met with some Jewish fellows and had some fellowship with them. And he probably learned about the law. And he was in this local synagogue. You know, he probably was drawn there. He probably started giving to the Jewish nation and Jewish peoples. It kind of gives evidence to that. Okay. But will we say that Cornelius was very religious? Yes, we would say. He was a very religious man. He was devout, feared God, gave materially to the Jewish people, and he prayed continually. Okay. You know what? Was he doing all he could do? What was he doing? You know, he was doing the religious things, right? Yeah, he was doing all the religious things that we would say a guy needs to do, a man needs to do, a woman needs to do. But Cornelius was missing something. He was missing the life of Christ. He didn't have the forgiveness of sins, which is eternal life, which is spiritual life, which is Christ's life. They're all the same. This is what he was. He was a religious man without spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, he was a religious man without spiritual life. That describes many of us in the world today. We pray to God the Father, but we don't have the life of Christ. We don't have spiritual life. You know what? God knows this. He desires all men to be saved. So God orchestrates some way, somehow, for you to hear the gospel. Okay? He wants those who seek him and pray to him to have life, to have a more intimate connection with him. He wants intimacy with you through Jesus Christ. That's exactly what God did here in this event in Cornelius's life, and that's exactly what he does in our lives today when we sincerely seek him. So now I want to look at the next verses in summary, verses 3 to 21. How God orchestrates this whole connection. Our God orchestrates the gospel being given to Cornelius. Now let's look at the players and let's see what happened. It's very similar to what he does today, God. An angel goes to Cornelius and tells him, your prayers have been heard. Wow. Cornelius is praying a lot, continually praying. And an angel appears to him and says, your prayers have been heard. Then the angel tells him, to go send for a man named Peter. Peter, of course, was one of the 12 apostles, right? So God's working in Cornelius's life. He's saying, go send for that man, Peter. But then Peter, God's always working in Peter's life. Because at the same time, God gives a vision to Peter. He sees the sky open up, and he sees four-footed creatures in there in the sky. And God says to him, eat those creatures. You know? Now, Peter, being Jewish and under the Old Testament law, thinks that those animals are unclean. I would never eat an unclean animal per the law, right? But God said to him in that vision, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Amen? So what's that alluding to? No longer is that, you know, that creature unclean, but it's also referencing going forward, Gentiles are no longer unclean. Because brothers and sisters, before Jesus rose from the dead under law, the Jewish people thought the Gentile, the non-Jew, was unclean. They didn't associate with the Gentile. God is revealing to Peter, preparing him, saying, you know what? I want you to connect to a Gentile. So God is preparing Cornelius to hear the gospel, and he's preparing Peter to give the gospel. Brothers and sisters, God is connecting the giver of the gospel in this situation in this example, to the hearer of the gospel. That happens every day in this world. God is connecting those who need to hear, and God is connecting those who are going to give. My question to you this morning is that you. Are you the one who is in need of hearing, or you are the one who's going to give? Only you, that's between you and God, brothers and sisters. But you know what? God is making connections, divine appointments, like today with you connecting to me on this as I give you this message. You know what? The servants explain, they go to Peter, and they explain to him in verse 22 in chapter 10. They said, Cornelius, how this whole thing came about. A centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by an angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So the connection starts. The angel talks to Cornelius. Cornelius sends his servant to Peter. They find Peter in Joppa. They tell him this. The connection starts. Amen. God is wonderful. God is great. Brothers and sisters, God is always orchestrating the gospel connection. He's always connecting people in divine ways. During the coronavirus, guys, most of us are in our houses in lockdown praying. We're praying every day for protection from it, maybe for healing and recovery of those who have it. But you know what? God is hearing those prayers. But God is also saying, if you don't know my son, Jesus Christ, I want you to know him so you can have life, so you can have forgiveness of sins, so you could have a more intimate relationship with me. So God sent Peter to Cornelius to tell him the good news. Amen. Is God sending you today to speak to somebody under duress during the coronavirus? Are you Peter? Are you like a Peter? God saying, you know, I know you know that person, and that person is really in fear, in stress, not knowing the future, in their homes, in lockdown, in anxiety, in cabin fever. Is God saying to you, go tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Go tell them about he is their life. Okay? Or are you the one who's praying? And if you're praying, brothers and sisters, God's going to bring you that message in his timing. Amen. He orchestrates that all to you. So now, if we look at the next few verses 23 to 30, I'm calling it the divine connection explained. Now, Peter connects with Cornelius. He explains his motive in meeting with him. Now it says Peter enters Cornelius' house, and Cornelius falls to his feet and worships him. Wow. And Peter says to Cornelius, stand up. I'm just a man. Brothers and sisters, this is a good lesson right there. We don't worship a pastor. We don't worship an elder. We don't worship some televangelist. We don't worship somebody on the internet that preaches and has a good YouTube. No. We don't follow them. We should be following Jesus Christ. You know what? As a pastor, I am always trying to point you to him as your source of life, not to me. Not to my management, my leadership team, not to my wife, not to any of them. No, you need to depend on Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say fall and worship me. No, not me. It's not about me. It's about him. Amen. But Cornelius thought it was Peter, and he bowed and he worshiped him. No, Peter says, get up. I'm just a man. You know what? Peter enters Cornelius' house. He finds more than just Cornelius. He finds his family and a lot of associates. Peter explains that God gave him a vision that he should go to them and teach them and preach to them and explain to them how to have spiritual life, because God showed him the Gentile is not unclean anymore. The gospel is for all people. Now, verse 31 and 10 says, and he said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Your alms have been remembered before God. Brothers and sisters, that's how the connection started. It all started by Cornelius in prayer. But God hears our prayers. God connects those he will determine will help us, not only for salvation, but for other ways and other means. God sends people of all kinds with all messages. You know what? A message of encouragement, a message of truth, a message of correction, a message of support, a message of love. You know what? If you've been praying about something, not out of the blue, a comment, a phone call, an email to you from a brother or sister in Christ, you know, that might be God confirming something to you. Amen? Did you ever think of that? There's no coincidences. Never any coincidences. Even this past week, you know, on Thursday, my daughter, who works from home, had a wonderful job, and she got an inquiry for a new opportunity. And she said, "Dad, should I look at another job?" I said, "I wouldn't take another job during the coronavirus at this point, because it's kind of not a good time to switch jobs." But she had an inquiry. Somebody was interested in interviewing her. Friday, she got a call from her manager, and she got laid off. Mm. Now, brothers and sisters, that wasn't a coincidence. God arranged an opportunity on Thursday, knowing on Friday she would be laid off. That is not a coincidence. God does this all the time. Are you aware? Are you paying attention? Are you aware and seeing what he's doing? He does this all the time. He'll do it with the gospel. He'll do it in all many other ways, for encouragement, for support, and for love. This has happened so many times in my life. It's happened in the life of this church, brothers and sisters. You know, this church has been around since 2004. And I was one of the original elders and one of the original founders of this church. And I was praying last year, around the beginning of last year, said, "Lord, what do you want to do with your church? How can you use us? You know, how can you use the leaders and the members of this church to reach the world for Jesus Christ, to reach the world for grace?" And I prayed and I prayed, and God said, wait, it's coming. Something that affects, something big's coming. And then out of the blue, back in March of last year, I got a phone call from a man who lived in Texas. Now, I'm in New Jersey, sisters. This man's in Texas. This man was praying, and God said to him, "Connect to Pastor Ra." And he called me. We became friends. His ministry is called Crisis Life Ministries. He showed me some of his curriculum, wonderful curriculum. Now, brothers and sisters, he has wonderful discipleship curriculum to teach people how to live in grace, amen, and how to live from Jesus as their source of life, which is such a missing hole in our church today. It's such a hole. Nobody knows that. It's all about doing like Cornelius, the religious thing. And Jesus says, "I don't want that.